Well, there's an update for you on that tragic situation in San Bernardino, California. Police are pretty comfortable that those shootings involved two individuals who are now deceased, male and female. They were apparently in a relationship, Syed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. Now, that's what we have right now. We're going to come back in a moment and chat more with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about vaccines. We'll tell you about a couple of his books, and they're good, very important reads, and we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with us. Robert, thimerosal, of course, is a compound that has been in vaccines. It's supposed to be a preservative. I'm told that most of that stuff is out now, except for trace amounts, except in the flu vaccine. What can you tell us about this ingredient, which has, it's a mercury-type ingredient too, isn't it?
Thimerosal is a preservative, unnecessary preservative that is used in multi-dose vaccines, and so you can eliminate it by using the single-dose vials. But it's in the multi-dose vials, and it's 50% ethyl mercury, and ethyl mercury is extremely toxic to the brain. It's about 50 times as toxic as the mercury that is heavily regulated in fish. And it's twice as persistent in the brain as that mercury. And what, you know, and we took it out of the three children's vaccines between 1999 and 2003. It was in the DTaP, the Hib, and the hepatitis B vaccines, and it has been removed from those vaccines. But unfortunately, for some reason that we don't really understand, the same year that it was removed in 2003 by CDC, the CDC added the flu vaccine to the mandatory children's schedule. Oh. And the flu vaccine has huge doses of mercury, 25 micrograms per shot. And for the first time, we started giving it to pregnant women. So it's, and unlike those other vaccines that are only given, you know, usually once or maybe three times if you include boosters, the flu vaccine is given to every child every year, starting when you're 6 months old and then 1 year, 2 years. So you can actually get more. If you comply with the schedule, you can actually end up getting, a child can get more mercury today than he or she could have in 2003 from complying with the schedule.
Unbelievable.
So, but, you know, one of the things that we were talking about before the break was what happened, you know, how these vaccines are added to the schedule. And in, as I said, Congress made it illegal to sue vaccine companies, no matter what they do, no matter how reckless or negligent they are, in 1987. So 2 years, so suddenly vaccines became immensely profitable. When I was a kid, there was, you know, three vaccines, and nobody was making money on them. They were essentially a civic duty for the pharmaceutical companies. But suddenly, in 1989, they became immensely profitable because you had a company would have a product. The federal government was essentially ordering 200 million people to buy that product. And there was no marketing cost, no advertising, and no liability. So you have a drug, and, you know, the big downside of most pharmaceuticals is that people do get sick from, you know, every drug can make somebody sick. But suddenly you had complete immunity. So there's no liability whatsoever. So if you could persuade CDC to put your vaccine on the schedule, it was worth usually around $1 billion a year to your company. So suddenly, CDC added all of these vaccines. And as I said, we went from having three vaccines to having 17 vaccines, 69 doses of 17 different, you know, drugs. And the way that the new ones are added to the schedule is there's a committee called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices that is not from people, that is not made up of people who work for CDC, Most of the people on those committees are vaccine industry insiders, and many of them have direct financial benefits from voting their own vaccine onto the schedule. I'm going to give you an example. In 1989, Dr. Paul Offit, who is one of the big vaccine industry insider and profiteer, and he's one of the gurus of vaccines in this country, he sat on the committee that added the rotavirus vaccine to the schedule. He voted to require the rotavirus vaccine for all children. He owned the patent to a rotavirus vaccine, which then became suddenly immensely valuable, and he then sold that patent for $186 million.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, which he...
Follow the money.
He shared with his business partners at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. But he made a lot of money on that transaction, and it became a kind of a scandalous transaction. So the Inspector General of HHS did an investigation, and what they found was that it was unethical, but it was legal under CDC's rule. And what the Inspector General found was that up to 97% of the people who sat on those panels may have had the same kind of financial conflicts as Offit. So it's hard for Americans to completely have faith.
That's right.
In an agency that is allowing people who have direct financial stake in the vaccines that are mandated for our children to believe that those are only being added to the schedule because of public health concerns.
In the old days, Robert, those people would have gone to jail for these kinds of exercises.
Well, they should go to jail. They should go to jail for those kind of, conflicted choices. And, you know, it's really scandalous. But the press, of course, won't report on it. So, and then there's another division at CDC, which is the one that, you talk about. Which is the centerpiece of your concerns, that how can we have faith in this? And that is called the Immunization Safety Office. And that is the division that has the scientists, it's about 30 scientists that work for it, that are charged with determining vaccine safety and efficacy. And so they do the science. And we've known for many years that their science was crooked. Because for one thing, when it came to thimerosal, they refused to do toxicological studies. They derailed FDA from doing a toxicological study on thimerosal. It's never had a toxicological study done. In fact, thimerosal has so much mercury in it that if a doctor drops a multi-dose bottle on the floor and it cracks, he's legally required to evacuate the building.
Oh, my God.
Hazmat crews with moon suits on and respirators.
And that's the stuff they're injecting in people.
They're injecting that into pregnant women and children.
Oh, my God.
So this office the only kind of study that it will do on vaccines are epidemiological studies, which are population studies. And the reason they do those is because they're very easy to fix. What they do is they look at, epidemiological studies look at a population that is exposed to a certain toxin. And you're supposed to get a population that has not been exposed. And then you look at the health outcomes. Well, they're very easy to fix. In my business, we all often say that statistics don't lie, but statisticians do. It's really easy to fix a epidemiological study. You could actually design an epidemiological study to prove that sex does not make you pregnant. How would you do that? The way you would do it is you get rid of all the pregnant people before you do the study of the population. And you look at a lot of people who are having sex, but nobody's getting pregnant. And you then can conclude sex doesn't make you pregnant.
Well,
that's what they did with autism and thimerosal.
Intentionally. They intentionally destroyed it.
There's only six studies. And all of them were done by people who were either employed by the government or employed with pharmaceutical industry ties, or who were employed directly by the pharmaceutical industry. All of them are epidemiological studies, and what they did with most of them, there's a few other tricks that they use, but with most of them is before they studied the population, they got rid of the low IQ people, they got rid of the people with neurological diagnoses, they got rid of everybody with an autism diagnosis. And that's very easy to do. You just get rid of older children.
And they skewed the whole report, didn't they?
So then it's fixed. So we've watched what they were doing for many years and known it, but it's hard to explain it in a soundbite. So, you know, the press doesn't understand.
No.
Oh, but then in August of last year, the senior scientist from that division, whose name is Dr. William Thompson, and of the six studies that are, you know, supposedly exonerate autism, he is the author of three of them.
He's part of your vaccine whistleblower book, right?
And he came forward and confessed that for 11 years, he and his colleagues at CDC have been ordered by their boss, by Frank DiStefano, to lie, to dispose of data that was unfavorable, to manipulate the numbers, and to do whatever they needed to do to produce science that showed that thimerosal was safe.
Frightening.
And
only in America, Robert.
So anyway, one of the, you know, the books that we've published recently is a book of interviews with Dr. Thompson. Dr. Thompson, incidentally, is still working at CDC. He has invoked federal whistleblower status. He hired one of the best whistleblower attorneys in the country. And he's handed over about 100,000 pages of documents to Congress, and he has asked to be subpoenaed. He wants to have hearings and expose the fraud that's going on at CDC. He feels personally guilty for the autism epidemic. He says he feels great shame every time he sees a child with autism.
Would he come on the show with you again?
No, he will not come. His attorney will not let him speak except under subpoena because he doesn't want to lose his job. And he's asked to be subpoenaed. He wants to speak, but he needs the protection of the subpoena in order to protect himself from criminal prosecution and to protect his livelihood.
All right, let's take some calls here for you, Robert, and we'll continue chatting in the hour with the 40 minutes or so we have left with you. Let's go east of the Rockies. We're going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Alan's with us. Alan, you're on with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, I'm 49 years old, and on November 19th, I was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder without language or intellectual impairment below level 1. And I was wondering if there's any way to tell if it's genetic or if it's mercury-based from immunizations, and what can I do as an adult with ASD?
Well, you know, the genes do not cause epidemics. Genes can provide a vulnerability.
Yeah.
But you need an environmental toxin. So, and, you know, mercury is probably not the only environmental toxin that causes autism. But it definitely does cause autism. And we know that. I mean, there's so much peer-reviewed literature out there on that issue. There's over 50 studies that we've identified, and those are on my website listed, that link autism to mercury. There's also, incidentally, a large body of anecdotal evidence from doctors and clinics all over the country who do mercury chelation to treat autism. And in many cases, the people who have received the autism diagnoses are able to lose that diagnosis. So one of the things that you might want to do is to look at the film Trace Amounts. And you can go, I think you can get it for free now at www.traceamounts.com. I think that's it. But look at Trace Amounts. And that film, in addition to showing the corruption at CDC and explaining the science that, you know, that links mercury to autism, it also shows the stories of many children who have gone through chelation and who have seen these extraordinary improvements.
Yeah, that's a chemical that you can use that kind of carries the metals with it.
It helps your body excrete the metals.
Yeah.
And what we found is that people, many of the people, if not most of the people, who get autistic from mercury exposure are people who don't produce glutathione. A glutathione is an enzyme that is produced by your body that has the function of excreting metals from your body or assisting your body in excreting metals. Some people produce large amounts of it. Some people don't produce any at all. And it's the people who produce little or none of it that end up getting autism, because the mercury, when it goes into their body, it never comes out. And it usually ends up in their brain. It metabolizes into organic mercury, and it destroys the brain cells. It destroys neuronal tissue. But you can get it if you excrete it from the brain, which you can do using various methodologies. Many people who have done that have seen dramatic improvements.
That might explain then why so many children do not get it, and then others do. They have this ability to do it naturally.
There's a number of risk factors. Kids with mitochondrial disorders tend to get it, and incidentally, mercury can cause the mitochondrial disorders. But you find those mitochondrial disorders in children with autism. It's children who don't have glutathione tend to get it, and children who have high testosterone. That is a really important marker. And high testosterone, in fact, you know, testosterone amplifies the impact, the neurotoxic impacts of mercury. And estrogen, conversely, tends to wrap the mercury molecule and protect the female brain. That's why you see a disproportionate number of people, of boys, who get autism. Because when you see mass mercury poisonings, like in Minamata in Japan, and in Ghana and Nigeria and Quebec and Russia and other places, when you have these accidental mercury poisonings, it's always the boys who are most grievously injured. And the girls who tend to get autism are girls who have high testosterone. We also see that African Americans and Africans are much more vulnerable to vaccine injury and to autism in many of the studies than whites. And one of the reasons for that may be the high testosterone levels.
All right, stay with us, Robert. Final segment just ahead here on Coast to Coast AM. Vaccine Whistleblower, one of the books. Thimerosal, of course, the other book. And his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., J.R., robertfkennedyjr.com. And welcome back. Our final segment with Robert F. Kennedy as we talk about vaccines and what's been going on at the CDC. Let's go back to the phones. Johnny in St. Louis, welcome to the program, John. Go ahead.
Good evening, Robert, if I might call you that. Listening to you is amazing. You hear the best of both your father and your uncle in you, and your sincerity and your integrity. Thank you so much for
thank you
and
very
your family.
Much.
I'm the same age as you. I'm 62, so went through similar life experiences, I'm sure. I know that you said that your integrity, you got drawn to this because you were involved in climate change and global warming. The president the other day said 97% of the scientists in the world believe in global warming or climate change. And I don't. I know that George talks a lot about this stuff, and I know what we speak about here on Coast to Coast AM is that some of it's caused by human activity, but it's also part of Earth cycles. So I was wondering if you could explain your take on global warming or climate change, please.
Well, I'm not a scientist, but I think what Obama said is correct, that 97% of the published, peer-reviewed scientists who are in that discipline say the same thing, that global warming is real, that human beings are causing it, that its impacts are going to be cataclysmic. And, you know, they're using supercomputers and extremely sophisticated modeling, and it's, you know, it's thousands and thousands of scientists from virtually every, all the developed nations who've been looking at this for years and are predicting the kind of outcomes that we're seeing right now, the droughts, the floods, the storms on steroids, the rising ocean levels, the acidification of the ocean, and all, you know, the melting of glaciers on every continent, the disappearance of the Arctic ice sheet. You know, all of these things are real. You know, I spend a lot of time outdoors, and I've been seeing them for years. I've been seeing the, you know, the behaviors in the wildlife, and, you know, what's happening to our environment. So, you know, I don't think there's any question about it.
Robert, getting back to, of course, your push on the vaccines, you're publicizing it. You're doing what you can. What else can be done to fight this?
Well, you know, the CDC has piled fraud upon fraud in an artifice that is now so high and so wobbly that even a slight push from a variety of different directions will send it toppling down. If, for example, Congress subpoenas Dr. Thompson, the CDC whistleblower, who is ready to confess that all of the science that CDC has been creating on this issue is tampered with and phony. If we can figure out different ways to litigate on this issue, you know, you can't sue the vaccine companies, but there's other kinds of litigation that we might be able to do where Dr. Thompson could be deposed. If any of the major environmental groups took on this issue, it will change the debate. If any major politicians took on this issue and had hearings, etc., it could change the debate. And if any of the major press organs in this country suddenly said, we're going to actually look at this, you know, for example, 60 Minutes or Fox News or, you know, or the Atlanta Constitution decided to do an investigation of CDC. There are many, many ways that this story could break. And when it does, you know, the pieces will fall like dominoes because they're, you know, literally the emperor has no clothes in this case. There's no, people have been saying for years there's overwhelming science, but when you look at the science that they have, it's six studies, and CDC has so little faith in those six studies that are listed on its website. At 3 years ago, when the Institute of Medicine did its annual review of vaccine science, CDC stepped in and asked IOM to not review its thimerosal science because CDC knows that it doesn't, that the science is worthless that it has. And meanwhile, there are 100 in my book, Thimerosal, Let the Science Speak. You know, with that book, we just went out and looked. We tried to find every scientific, peer-reviewed, published scientific publication that had ever been done on thimerosal. We were not cherry-picking. We brought in a team of about 6 or 8 scientists to work and researchers to work for 2 years, combing through all of the medical literature on PubMed and elsewhere, and getting every single study ever done. And these were top scientific editors. One of them, the lead editor, had previously published an article. The only thing he'd ever published on thimerosal was to say that thimerosal was safe. So I wasn't looking for results. I was just looking to understand the science, and we went out and collected over 500 studies, 1,400 references, and we digested them all. And we outlined them and categorized them and put them in a single document, and we were not able to find a single study that demonstrated that thimerosal is safe. And I have a contest now where I've offered $25,000 to anybody who can show me one study that shows it's safe. Meanwhile, I can show anybody who wants to see it hundreds and hundreds of studies that show that this is a devastating neurotoxin that has been associated in the medical literature with lowered IQ, with ADD, with ADHD, with speech delay, language delay, tics, OCD, asthma, food allergies, and all these other neurological disorders. There's no question. You know, what I say to people when they start, journalists for years and doctors and other people have said, oh, you're wrong on the science. And I say to them, please, show me where I'm wrong so that I can go back to my day job. Show me a single study. This is the worst career choice I've ever made. Show me a single study that shows I'm wrong. That's all I want. Nobody can show me one. Jeez. So they say, oh, the science is overwhelming. And I say, where is it? It's propaganda you're reciting.
Can't they come up with an ingredient, Robert, that is safe and effective for people?
First of all, yes, and they have, and it's easy. And by the way, that question is the answer to that question is so obvious because when CDC said to them, you should take it out of all of the children's vaccines, they did it immediately.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we know how they can take it out. We know that they can take it out. First of all you have to do is use the single-dose vial. The single-dose vial cost about 70 cents more. You know, some of these vaccines cost $300 a piece.
Unbelievable.
So it only costs 70 cents more to use a thimerosal-free single-dose vial than it does to use the multi-dose vial. And the single-dose doesn't have thimerosal in it. So all you have to do is switch the vaccine.
And get it out of the flu shots, too. Jeez.
Yeah, the flu shots are, you know.
That's a problem.
If they have, listen, there's 180 million flu shots made every year in this country and administered. 53 million of those are thimerosal.
I bet, Robert, if you went to your doctor and asked him, hey, what's in this flu shot you're giving me this season? I bet he doesn't know.
No, and they don't know the side effects either. So, you know, the flu shots actually have never been approved. No flu shot has been approved for pregnant women. It's contraindicated, according to FDA, but CDC still requires it for pregnant women. Thimerosal has never been safety tested by the government. There's only been one safety test ever done, toxicity test ever done on thimerosal. That was in 1932. And it was done by Eli Lilly, which was the manufacturer. And Eli Lilly tested it on 22, tested a mega dose of thimerosal on 22 meningitis patients in a Indianapolis clinic. And all 22 died, almost all of them within 24 hours. And Eli Lilly then sent a letter to the government saying, we tested it and it's safe. That is the only toxicity test ever done on thimerosal, and every one of the patients died. So, and the government has never, no CDC, FDA, NIH, FDA, none of them have ever tested it for toxicity.
Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Joe, you're up with us with Robert Kennedy Jr. Go ahead, Joseph.
How you doing, George? Robert, haven't these pharmaceutical companies been brought to task in any kind of criminal cases for, you know, basically just ignoring the neurotoxicity of the mercury? And can the glutathione that you mentioned earlier be used as an injectable to perhaps reverse the effects of the mercury?
Well, you know, the second question about glutathione, there are... I know that they sell glutathione tablets, and they also sell glutathione precursors. And there's other things that you can do to boost your own glutathione. And that kind of is, the best chelation therapies really are focus on boosting glutathione, which then excretes the mercury from your body.
Yeah, that's a chemical EDTA that they use for that, isn't it? For
chelation? The one, the stuff that they use for, I don't know a lot about chelation. I know that they used something called DMSA, which removes mercury from your blood and organs, and then they use it in conjunction with another, supplement called alpha-lipoic acid, and that removes it from your brain. But, I am not a doctor, and people should not be taking medical advice from me. What I know a lot about is mercury, and I know that, anybody who says that mercury is safe to inject, mercury is 1,000 times more neurotoxic than lead. And what I say to people who say, oh, it's safe, I say, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the science, and you're arguing with the periodic table.
That's right.
Because this is the most neurotoxic element in the universe that is not radioactive.
And in terms of criminal charges, there's immunity from prosecution, is it there?
There's immunity in civil suits. A criminal suit would be different, but you need to get a prosecutor, and prosecutors are politicians. So you would need to get a prosecutor, for example, in Atlanta, who would investigate what's happening at CDC, let me just put it this way, that hasn't happened yet.
Next up, we go to Stacy in your old neck of the woods, Massachusetts. Hi, Stacy, go ahead.
Hi, well, first of all, with mercury, if it's safe, how come years ago they told us we can't use those old-fashioned thermometers for your temperature because those had mercury in it, and the kids would sometimes bite on them and it would break?
It would break.
Well, let me say this. The Institute of Medicine recommended the removal of mercury from all drugs.
And fillings.
FDA, in 1999, FDA did massive studies on thimerosal, and they found it to be immensely toxic. And FDA does not have jurisdiction over prescription drugs or vaccines. But what it does have jurisdiction over is over-the-counter pharmaceuticals. And over-the-counter pharmaceuticals were loaded with thimerosal. You may remember, I don't know how old you are, but when I was a kid, we used something called mercurochrome. So if you got a scrape on your leg, it was kind of an orangish dye.
That's right.
Antibacterial, and you would put it. Well, it was loaded with thimerosal.
Oh gosh.
It was. There were 1,400 over-the-counter drugs that you could walk into a pharmacy and buy that had thimerosal in them, and the FDA illegalized all of those in 1998. Another one was murine eye drops. So people, which was like, before they had Visine, they had murine, and murine was destroying people's retinas because it was mercury, it was thimerosal, and it was banned. The mercurochrome was banned, and was the kind of the original focus of the ban because it was put on the umbilical cords of 11 children in a Toronto hospital, all of whom died.
I think they did that to us when we were babies.
That's exactly right.
Gosh, well, we must have had something in our system that fought it off. I went out and got all my mercury fillings, Robert, taken out, and I put in, got everything brand new. Just got rid of all of it, all of it.
Yeah.
We've only got about 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite memory of your father?
Well, I have a lot of memories. I guess my favorite memories were of doing, of skiing with him and mountain climbing, and doing Whitewater. I think one of the best memories of my youth was when he took us down the Colorado River, down the Grand Canyon. That was, for me, that was like paradise. But he also took us on the snake and the salmon and the yampa and the green and all of these great, you know, whitewater rivers. But my most poignant memories are being outdoors with him, being out sailing in a storm, or being on the whitewater, or up in the mountains going backcountry skiing with him in Sun Valley or Colorado.
Well, you keep in touch. Normally I broadcast out of Los Angeles. I'm not there. I'm in St. Louis for the holidays. But when I get back, if you're ever out there, let's look each other up, okay?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Okay. That's Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Books, Vaccine Whistleblower, The Marisol, Let the Science Speak, and folks, question your doctor. Question your doctor about the vaccines you get. And as of right now, the chemical thimerosal is in the flu vaccine primarily. They've taken most of it out for children's vaccines as of several years ago. So just be smart about this. Take care of yourself. When I come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, we're going to get incredible psychic predictions. You won't believe some of them that you're about to hear right here on Coast to Coast AM.